Hey, let us turn in our Bibles tonight to Daniel chapter 12 as we complete the book of Daniel tonight. Next week we'll be starting Hosea. Very interesting Old Testament book. And tonight, chapter 11 was the coming of the Antichrist, and now we're going to see the end of days. And at that time, verse 1, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now that's interesting. It says that all in that time your people will be delivered. If there was a period there, we go, well, who are those people? But he makes it clear, everyone that shall be found written in the book, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And your name is only in there if you belong to Jesus, if you have a relationship with Christ that's a saving relationship. But at that time, he's talking about at that time in the end days, in that latter time, actually, in the tribulation period, Michael, an angel that oversees Israel, apparently, he's going to be fighting Satan and his angels and will cast them out of heaven. I want to go to Revelation chapter 12. You might, if you have two of those little ribbons in your Bible, you could put one of them in Daniel and the other one in Revelation. Because we're going to be going to Revelation a couple of times. Tell you what, Daniel and Revelation are great books to read together. It's only 30-some chapters, so, you know, you get that. We're in Revelation 12, verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 7 through 9. What did we just read? At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the people of thy, or the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. I'm reading Daniel now. Stay where you are in Revelation. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So now we go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels. Who's the dragon? Satan. Who's the angels? The angels. Okay. And prevailed not. So the dragon does not win. He prevailed not. This is verse 8 in Revelation 12. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Here we're getting a little better definition. The dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. In case there was any question who he is, there he is, which deceiveth the whole world. Is that right? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, Satan knows that his days are numbered. Satan's read the Bible. He believes the Bible. He knows it's prophetic. And the fact is there's going to come a time when he's going to come after that thousand-year binding in the pit, the thousand-year reign of Christ. He's going to come back with a fury. And the Antichrist will set up his throne in Jerusalem. It's going to break the covenant that he has with Israel. They think he's the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He's the Antichrist. So this is when the second half of the tribulation period begins. It's called the Great Tribulation. That means it's greater than the first half of 3.5 years. The whole period is 7 years long. The tribulation, first half, 3.5 years, second half, is prophesied. Actually, back in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, I'll read it. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, in other words, 7 weeks of years, or 7 days of years, a week of years, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, which would be 3.5, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. I'm having trouble with my reader here. Bear with me. and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, and even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay. So this is going to be the worst time ever in human history. That's what it says. It's the worst time in human history. In fact, Jesus spoke of it. Matthew 24 is a very prophetic chapter. You read through that when you get a chance. Jesus said in Matthew 24:21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Sounds a lot like Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1. A lot like Revelation, as we just read. When Daniel says, "thy people," he's speaking of the Jews, God's chosen people. So the "thy people" in verse 1 here of Daniel 12 represents the Jews in two respects here. Michael, the archangel, overseeing them, and the fact that they will be delivered. Delivered from what? Well, delivered from this great tribulation that's coming. Who's delivered? The Jews. All the Jews? No, not all the Jews. Not all the people either. Only those that shall be found written in the book. Okay? This book is really important that your name's in it. And the first point here is there are going to be 144,000 sealed. In Revelation, where are we in Revelation? Chapter 12, was it? Go back to chapter 7 now. I need to get my bookmarks right here, too. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. "And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel." How many tribes? 12. Divide 12 into 144. Did you do your times tables when you were in high school? 12 times 12 is what? 144. Yeah, I did my 12s. I don't have my 12s down as good as my 1s and my and my zeros. But so that we have 12 tribes, 12,000 each, the way the math comes out anywhere here, sealed as a witness for Christ during this great tribulation period. This is going to be an awesome salvation going through Israel. But there's another point here, is that many more will come to Christ during this time, during this great tribulation period. There's something about oppression and tribulation trials. It actually draws people close to the Lord. When a nation tries to oppress the truth, actually Christianity grows. It's growing exponentially in China and a lot of the Eastern Muslim nations right now. Kind of like a teenager when you tell them you absolutely can't do that. You cannot do that. What does that make them do? You can't see that person. Don't you dare see that person. You know what happens? It kind of focuses them on that person, doesn't it? Or that thing that you told them not to do. And for in verse Revelation 7, in verse 14, it says, "He said, I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So the people that come out of the tribulation period, getting saved during that time, a little further on in Revelation 14, they're going to be, when I first came to the Lord, sat under Bill Gallatin, he had us going, every time he came to a scripture, he'd say, turn to, and it got me familiar with a lot of the Bible that way. So turn to Revelation 14:4, and it says, "And these are they which were not defiled with women, for they were our virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." Followers of Christ. "These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." So, okay, now we're going back to Daniel. Keep a bookmark in Revelation. We'll be going back there again. And going back to Daniel chapter 12. There we go. Verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. When I go to sleep at night, I like to wake up and realize I'm alive. Not that I've woken up in a contemptuous situation or an awful situation. But this is one verse that brings kind of summarizes two things. It summarizes the resurrection, but two resurrections, two different resurrections. First, as long as we're in the New Testament, go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go through Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, the first resurrection. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, rapturous, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then we have a resurrection in Matthew 25, verse 32. Matthew 25, 32. I'm listening for pages to be turning here. 25, 32. Actually, it's a great way to learn your way around the word. 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we know that the Lord calls us into glory. We know some things about the resurrection from different areas in the Bible. Psalm 17:15 says, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When I wake up and I'm like you, Lord, or like you, Jesus. Isaiah 26:19, you don't have to turn there. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Isaiah speaking of the resurrection. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So, speaking of the resurrection here. Now we're back to Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I like what Psalm 111:10 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. We shine as stars. There's something unique about believers. We shine. We offer hope. We offer faith. We speak of glory. We speak of Jesus. He speaks of, verse 3 says, They that be wise. I want to read you a few verses out of James chapter 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not. I just ran into a glitch in my reader here. So, James chapter 3. Electronics are great when they work, but nothing like the word. Oops. James. There we go. James 3. Who is the wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we're planters of peace is the idea here. That's what we do. We sow righteousness, which is peace. And so the wisdom, he speaks of a wisdom that doesn't come from God. There is an earthly wisdom. But he's saying if that's all that you're relying on, is that's where all, you put all your faith into and that's what you rest upon, it brings bitterness, brings envy and strife. You've heard me say before that the best way to understand what the world's all about is through the lens of the Bible. Got a conversation going with a young man bussing the table where I was having lunch today. We started talking about the righteousness of God and how the world makes more sense through the Bible. It turned out he was reading. He says, yeah, I'm reading in Acts 10 right now. Well, cool. But when we're competing for worldly glory, when that's what we're looking for, we can start rating and valuing ourselves according to worldly standards and be envious when other people get glory within the things of the world. And he's saying that's not true wisdom. We should be rejoicing when people get advances. And bitterness brings what? It's called the root of bitterness because it grows deeply. It produces tension within the body. The shoulder muscles tighten. You can get ulcers. You've heard of ulcers. What are ulcers from? Stomach acid that's brought on by tension usually and oftentimes destroys or harms, at least harms relationships. But he's talking about true wisdom that comes from above, that's pure. He calls it pure, peaceable, gentle, and easily obeyed. Wisdom really takes into account eternity, because when we have our eyes only on the circumstances in front of us, we don't get a full view of what's going on. Remember, this is a battle for souls here. Eternity is why we're here, to get our names in the book of life so we can spend eternity in the right place and not lose out on that and spend it in the lake of fire. Verse 4, I better move into another verse here. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Seal up the book. He means, consider this, this is for a future time. It's for a future day. It's for the end time, so seal it up for now. And I think we're in the last days now. I think we're in the end times now. I think they started when Christ ascended into glory. He's crucified, died, buried, risen, and then ascended. And when he ended his time on earth, I think that marked the beginning of the end and pushed us into the end times. Okay, it's 2,000 years later. But I do think that God has sovereignly ordained that every generation and every succeeding generation would be saying, you know, this could be the time. This could be the time. Peter was waiting for him to return. Paul was waiting for him to return. Peter said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So in God's economy, in God's timing, only a couple of days have gone by. But God has chosen to open our eyes at this time, in this particular time, in these last days. Why? Because it wasn't for an earlier time. And blindness has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So we need to be sharing the word of God so that last Gentile can get saved and we can get out of here. And I'm so pleased what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in me will complete it, or will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, wherever you are and you walk with the Lord, he's not done with you. You're still growing. You're still maturing. You're still getting more wisdom. You're getting more of the word. Revelation 1:3, look at God's promised blessing. He said, blessed is he that reads, that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. For those who read and hear and keep. That's what we're called to do. Read it, hear it, keep it, and pass it on. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Man clothed in linen, Jesus. The other man, angels, likely. Revelation 10. Let's go back to Revelation again. Revelation 10, verse 5. Could this be talking about this man clothed in linen? Revelation 10, 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Him that liveth forever and ever? Who else but God lives forever and ever? And us who are in the book. He swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, notice I did switch that says therein are in two places, but are therein, and in the third one in your reading, if you're in the King James, actually it's the same phrase in Greek. I don't know why the translators decided to flip it. But that there shall be time no longer. Is there time right now? Yeah, there's time. It's 7:45. And we know that in 15 more minutes it'll be 8-ish. Okay? So there still is time, but there's going to come a time when there's no time. How can you have a time when there's no time? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But he says here, he's mentioning the last half of the tribulation, or the great tribulation, a time, times, two more, one and two is three, and a half. Can't give you half. But so he's talking about 3.5 years, this tribulation period. And in verse 8, he goes on and says, oops, I'm in a Revelation. No wonder it didn't sound right. Verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Wow. I don't think we're classed as the wicked or believers. We do understand. But the people that are not in the book, that are opposing even now, that are saying dumb things over the internet and Facebook and all and in the news, they don't understand. They don't even understand what life is all about on this earth. They don't understand that we were created because they think we're an accident of nature over millions of years. I forget where I was here. Verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,300. Oops. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel's questions are over. More is going to be revealed later, but God's really telling him, be content with what's been revealed to this point to you, because the rest of it's going to be sealed up. They're closed, they're sealed till the end of the time or the time of the end. And in that sense, these prophecies are closed and sealed. And in verse 10, he said, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The idea is that times will wax worse and worse. Unsaved people don't get better with time unless they repent. And I remember once making a comment to someone early in my walk with the Lord. I said, this is so exciting. All the answers are right here. And this lady I was talking to said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah, they are all the answers. She said, what time is it? And I have the answer now. It's time to repent. It's always time to repent. But the idea is, in this time, wickedness will abound more than ever. I mean, you read some of the gross things that are going on around the world of gassing over, was it in Syria? They gassed a whole neighborhood. And it's not unusual for them to cut women open, pregnant women, and kill their children, and such gross things that go on. And you wonder, how can a human even behave in such an animalistic way? But as we get further from the fall in the garden, we are sinners, and it will wax worse and worse. And the idea is that wickedness will abound more and more and more than ever, but it won't prevail. They won't win. They won't have a victory. God wins. You read the end of the book, he wins. In the wicked, these people, he talks about the unregenerate that don't get saved. They don't even understand the times they're in. They don't understand their own wickedness. Only the wise understand. He said, and the wise are those who have the word of God, those who understand God's word. It's one thing to read it. I did read it before I got saved, and it was interesting. The Lord opened my eyes, and all of a sudden it began going from interesting to like revelational, being so full of God's love and his word. In verse 11, from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 1290. When the daily sacrifice is taken away, when the abomination of desolation is set up, you can start counting, it will be 1,290 days till the end of all things. Jesus pointed to Daniel's prophecy of the abomination of desolation as a sign that would mark his soon return. And again, in Matthew 24, verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. And then in parentheses it says, whoso readeth, let him understand. It's one thing to read the word of God, but God has given us the Holy Spirit as an interpreter. I read it blindly, not blindly. I could see the page, I could see the ink, and I could read the words, but it's just different once he opens your eyes through the Holy Spirit, who opens things up to the deep things of God. Then verse 12, he says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So now we've got 1,335 days. The other was what, 1,290? This is now 1,335. It's most likely that this means that Jesus returns at the 1,260 days and the nations are judged. And that his government is officially installed perhaps at the 1,330. Revelation 12 in verses 13 through 17 describes a time of fury of the devil. Because as we read through Daniel and see the abomination of desolation in the second half of this great tribulation period, you see this fury as the devil, through the Antichrist, unleashes a reign of terror like we've never seen before, directed against the Jews, but also against all believers in this time that may have come to Christ during the tribulation. And you can turn to chapter 12 of Revelation again. Chapter 12, Revelation 12, 13. The trumpets, the seals, the bowls of Revelation describe these horrible conditions of the world during this time. Now, we won't see it because we'll be gone. But Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Who's the man-child? Jesus. Who could the woman be that brought forth the man-child. It's not going to be literally Mary. I mean, they're not punishing Mary, but the nation of Israel is the one that birthed the Messiah here. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Does this sound familiar? And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is certainly bad news for anybody who's not in Christ, because our only hope is in Christ, because in him is the only hope that lasts forever. He's the only one that has eternity offered. And our own righteousness will be rewarded when our righteousness is Christ. So we don't have any of our own. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. We need his righteousness. There was a little town named Flagstaff, Maine. And at a time in the near future, when a dam got completed, it would flood this whole town out. And the months prior to this flooding of the town, you can imagine how well home improvements went and repairs. Not much. They stopped, as a matter of fact. What was the use of painting a house if it was going to be covered in water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was going to be wiped out? This is true. This happened. So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more in disrepair. And the reason was given by a resident. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Wow, I read that and I went, wow. When our eternal future rests in Christ, he gives us the power to live in this present. This is the present we're given. This is our presence. We weren't born in the 1600s or the 21st, 2100s or the 17 or 1800s. We're born now. And our faith is in the future, because we know what our future is, because our name's in the book of life. And it gives us power to not fear what is coming, but the power of the present that we're in, that we can share the gospel wherever we are, because we know where we're going. Let's close in prayer. Lord, what a powerful thought that we need not fear what anyone can do to us, Lord, but we can stand in your presence and not fear the present, because we know what the future brings. It's clear that there's a time coming, whether or not we'll be preceding it, Lord. We may face some terrible tribulation, Lord, before the great tribulation comes. And if we do, we know that because of the future that we know, we'll be able to endure that present. So, Lord, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, to open our eyes to your word, Lord, to just fill us full of who you are. I thank you for the peace that it brings. In Jesus' name, amen.